The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Saoirse Handley is with me, the audience editor and columnist with the Irish Independent, and Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. You're both very welcome. Saoirse, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is a very abstract trio of concepts.
Oh, wow. So this is the first. An abstract trio of concepts.
So, do you know what I thought? I thought it's Friday evening. Everybody's brain is definitely super engaged.
Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. There's not enough debate about abstract nouns on the radio.
My winners this week are empathy, courage and hope.
Ah.
Because these three concepts were to work very hard this week.
Yes,
in light
true.
Of Trump's election. And I was thinking about it a lot because regardless of what you think about Donald Trump's, you know, policies, which I obviously don't, I'm not a huge fan of, but if his politics aside, the whole campaign that he ran was so based on like hate and division and just a really nasty amount of messaging.
Mm-hmm.
And in light of that, and in all of us kind of reeling from the shock that that's fine and that can get you elected to the highest office, this, I think, looking at all of the ways that we can pick up the pieces from that has been really heartening. And just looking at the ways that we can like lead with more empathy and actually like maybe try love thy neighbor, maybe try understand somebody else's scenario. And I think having the courage to do that and to be able to hope for a better future, despite what I suppose the present is telling you, mm-hmm. is just really powerful. And I think that even when those three things are quite hard to find, being able to find them is so much more worth it and makes you so much more of a winner. And I think that as we head into our own election season, as uh-huh. we all now can finally officially say today, I just feel like those are things that we should be prioritising in ourselves, prioritising in the people that we're voting for and asking of our politicians when they come to the door. Although they don't come to my door because I live in an apartment. But if they did, I would ask for those three things.
And in what way would you ask for them? How would you, I assume you don't say what's your position
on hope
empathy,
in this world?
And courage.
I think they'd be like, you know what, actually.
What are the questions you'd ask? That would,
they'd be like, here's my leaflet and leave it off.
Yeah, exactly.
I think when it comes,
I'm going to fix the pothole outside.
Yeah, so I'm not here.
I hope you fix the pothole outside.
Try me again at the election.
I feel empathy with everybody who suffers because of that pothole.
But I think the big one definitely for me, because courage and hope we can only really do ourselves, can we look for in ourselves, but empathy is like the one thing I think we should be asking other people to have.
Yes.
And the people that represent us to have, right? Like when you look at things like the, you know, like what we're experiencing with immigration in the country, when you look at what that has resulted in and people taking to the streets for messages of more division, like you look at these protests that happen against the rate of immigration in this country, and all they're flat out undoing is like this whataboutism of like, oh, but like, what about our Irish people? Oh, how's the Irish? How's whatever? And all of that is true. We should be housing the Irish people. Of course, we should be looking at our neighbours too. But I just feel like having empathy for someone else's scenario is like the number one thing I would want somebody who represents me to have. If you can't understand why somebody's seeking refuge,
mm-hmm.
if you can't understand what leads people to be on the street, if you can't understand what drives addiction, like, I don't want you having any kind of say, because you're supposed to represent people. And if you can't understand people and spend like a second in their shoes,
exactly,
I don't think you're worth your weight in salt.
Yeah. And then you won't be able to kind of map a path out for possible solutions because you won't care enough. Like, no, definitely. Empathy is key.
Empathy is key. I love it. Please, let's all. And I said last week that I cry at everything. Okay. And it's true. And I think that's just out of having some empathy. I think it's just.
But I think I'm a hugely empathetic person who doesn't normally cry, but I've found myself crying a couple times this week.
Yeah.
Just because it's all so overwhelming. And you were actually there when it was happening.
I know. It's, It's so much easier in a country the size of the US to other a group, though, I think, in some ways.
Yeah.
And you do see it, like, sorry,
Canada,
I'm not suggesting it's not happening here. Yeah, Canada doesn't. You know what I mean? But it's kind of like, oh, those migrants down at the border, like, they're a problem. It's easy to say that if you're
they're
up
not
in
people.
Kind of, you know, Madison County or something.
Yeah, you're
you
miles
know?
Away and, like, you're worlds away. And it's funny because I was talking to my housemate about it last night because we were talking about the election, talking about our candidates and our constituency and stuff. And we were talking about just how, like, and this actually is like a little side winner for us, is just Ireland having a system that we have, because Hannah, my husband, was saying, like, can you imagine being faced with two
possibilities?
Yeah.
And like, she was like, because we were looking, we did like, the Independent has a thing up this week, we have like a voter, like a Vote Smart,
mm-hmm.
like, thing you can fill out and it'll tell you.
Oh, what yeah, yeah.
So I was doing that last night just to see, and we got some surprises. But, you know, it tells you you're 70%.
She's a Trumper. She's a Trumper.
That's a Trump woman.
I'm a really big
Trumper.
Yeah, I've been lying this whole time. Yeah. Everything I've ever said
has
been a lie.
Send them home option.
To be fair, if I had been coming in here and lying, it would make me very like Trump, so it's fine. But we were talking about how, like, you know, you can be 60% aligned with one party and then 40% aligned with another and whatever. And Hannah had a very good point that she was like, you know, it's interesting that we fill out all of these opinions that we have and it aligns us like a little bit with this, a little bit with that. And we can kind of mold what, you know, we can mold our vote to what best suits that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine if your only real options, your only viable options were one or the other. It's impossible.
Yeah. It's so insane that it stayed that way. Canada was once very much a two-party, it's been Canada, a two-party system, and that stopped around the kind of like late 70s and into the 80s. There's more options now. But at one stage, it was really PCs or liberals, and that was it.
Yeah. I wish Canadians had more empathy for the way you just said three earlier. You know, you said three?
Because when I
worked in Canada, and we used to work on this construction site, and you'd have to radio the lift because it was the tower that's been built. And if we had to go to any with a number three in it, the guy inside, the lads in the lift would just make us say it over and over and over again until the lift came. What?
Do you say three?
I'd say like, yeah, 33. And then they'd be like, oh, begosh and begara, what floor was that? And then they'd all hear these like raucous Canadian laughter from inside the
I always make fun of my husband for saying
elevator.
orange. And and forest. And I'm like, look at those oranges in the forest. He's like, shut up.
Every single summer I get slagged for wasp.
Wasp.
Yeah, which I thought was, to be fair, I thought it was...
Sorry, I'd slag you for wasp.
Yeah, I thought it was
what's a wasp?
Thing. I've since been told it's probably a Cove thing to go even more minute.
Wasp.
Okay,
but
oh, really?
Stick us back on the island of Cove, I don't know.
I had to kill a wasp yesterday.
This time of year.
Yes.
Ooh, and I had to get rid of a really big chunky fly that thankfully was very slow.
Yeah, I know, but it's too late in the season for wasps.
Well, it's 18 wasps. Degrees 2 days ago.
I know, yeah.
Anyway.
What empathy, courage, and hope. abstract
like
concepts
as it's the winner so easy,
of the week.
Guys.
So who's your winner of the week? What abstract concept is your winner
it's
of the week?
It's not so much an abstract concept. No, it's Hugh Grant.
Oh, yes.
So He's abstract. When I was talking about him before...
He's got an abstract beauty about him.
Well, I'm finding him more attractive the older he gets, but I think that's a reflection of me getting older as well. But he is not someone I wouldn't be a fan or otherwise, like I'm kind of indifferent, but a story broke this past week and I was like, oh, I think I like this guy, where he basically, in interviews, because he's doing loads of interviews for the movie that's in the cinemas now, and he's like, you know, I pretended to be my own agent for 4 years, and he made up the name, and I think it was James Howe Ailey. He made up an email, and when he had to do his negotiations over phone, he put on a Scottish accent, and he kept it up for four years.
So now he
brokered his own deals.
No way.
Yeah. And his quote is, I saved myself an absolute fortune. I just love that.
Yeah, that's a nice story. That's a good story. So Hugh Grant, a winner of the week. Empathy, courage, and hope as well. Fellow winners. Alison, who's your sinner of the week?
I'm struggling with his second name, but who cares? He's gross. Nick Fuentes, and he
Okay. I know this guy,
It's gone viral. So he's a 26-year-old guy, and he basically, after the election, he's like, he called women a certain name and went on to say, we own you, we own your bodies.
Oh, that
like,
guy.
Yeah. Yeah, so everyone's seen it. Like, you thought you'd had a chance to own your own bodies, blah, blah, blah. And he's been in Trump's pocket for a little while, hung out at a party with Kanye West there as well. He's a white supremacist. He's a Holocaust denier. He's all those lovely things rolled up into one. But the unfortunate reality of his hate speech in YouTube is just growing and growing and growing is that the comments below are just growing and growing and growing. And this wave of moving away from maybe considering women actually human beings to property is just growing. And this horrific, you're like, how are things worse now than when I was a kid for my daughter? Like, I don't remember like boys feeling that way. Like, of course, there was always a rumbling of all these ideas and ideologies and things like that. But now it's acceptable and people are just saying it out loud and looking up to a guy who's saying this out loud and on huge platforms as well. But like, I was trying really hard during the week, we're bringing it back to the election, but I was trying really hard. I was like, okay, all right, I kind of, as much as this pains me to think this, I'm trying to get into the shoes, empathy, of someone who voted for Trump. And I was like, okay, so if you voted because you did not want women to have access to abortion, I guess, you know, you'd think God was involved there or whatever it is. You'd have some sort of like trying to get into the reasoning. But I was like, how can anyone, like, it's not God's will that someone is sexually assaulted. So how are people justifying that? And then I had to take it a next stage and go, well, all these people think that's fake news. They don't think it actually happened.
Yeah.
So I was just trying and like doing the breakdown. I know you've done this on your show a lot this week of the actual. So it's like age, you know, age brackets, identifiers. And I'm like 18 to 20 year old, 37% women, like you, they can still have children. I understand the 45, 50 plus kind of going, this doesn't affect me anymore. I just want my Chardonnay and I want to look down at my neighbors or whatever the hell. But like, why is a young woman voting for him? Like, I'm trying so hard. Mm. And like, even from an economic point of view, do you fully appreciate what his policies are at that age and how it could help you later in life? I can't get my head around how anybody voted for him, let alone as many people who did.
Yeah.
I think it's quite arresting because it does just, whatever like you think about Trump and all of that, like thinking about the amount of people that saw all that he has let us know that he is.
Yes.
Whatever you think about those things, and then to go, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
And
it, totally
I think
fine.
That that man's stance, the Nick Fuentes guy, like it just points to a much bigger problem,
it's
I think.
Terrifying.
That we're like, I always forget that I live in such a bubble and I live with people who are very like-minded and I talk to people.
But that's what happened to me in 2016 following the election and everyone I followed online. I didn't make that same mistake. I mean, I'm not following Nick online, but like this year. But I think the reason why I have started to cry so much this week is that I'm like, Joan is only 13. She hasn't even started her adult life. I know we're not in America, but these things spread like waves. And what is it going to look like when she's 26? Like, is this guy Nick going to be the bright, like, what the hell?
Yeah. It all trickles down. Like, you know, it's the same thing they always say, that like the triangle of sexual violence is like, at the very bottom of that is like, boys will be boys. And like all of the really small things that we think are small, but they just lead up to, they add to a much bigger conversation and they make a much bigger problem than we give them credit for. And
totally.
We underestimate, I think, like messages like that. Because I would think, I actually discounted that guy's tweet every time I see it because I'm like, that's rage bait. He doesn't think that. Probably
he completely thinks that.
Yeah, and many other people agree with him.
It's funny. Like, people can get so... You talked about being in your bubble. And actually, people on the other side in their bubble, while it might be hard to understand their way of thinking, in some ways, and I know it sounds kind of perverse to think about it, it's a perfectly rational thing to do to vote for Donald Trump if that's the bubble you're in.
Mm,
because of the information you're bombarded with.
Totally.
You know, and you're not exposed to
like
other ways of thinking.
Brainwashing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and else is
if
fake,
that's
yeah.
if that's you're like the kind of prisoners in the cave thing. You know that old allegory where I can't remember Plato or Aristotle or something. It's these people, and they spend their whole time chained in a cave where they can only see the wall in front of them, and there's a fire behind them, and they think the world is just shadows on the cave. They think that is the world.
And then they turn around.
And then they turn around and they see the world. But it's perfectly rational for those people to think,
and it's so
the
fear-based.
World is just shadows on a wall.
And it's so fear-based as well. And Joanne Reed, who's brilliant, I'm sure you've come across her online, she showed a piece where it was a Asian guy who had grown up in America and his family he had, and a white guy who was really candid in saying,
oh, yes.
The reason why I voted for Trump is I need to protect white people from disappearing, basically, and becoming the minority. Yeah. And this idea, again, this construct of race is insane. And this idea of one being majority and minority, and what does that mean and its implications? And he was so dead set in what he was saying, but being really honest, that's genuinely how he felt. And that's what his fear was, that not, you know, I was going to lose a family member because she didn't get a safe abortion.
The Nick Fuentes thing is nearly, it's obviously overlaps with Trump, but I think that's more like an Andrew Tate thing. As well.
Oh, completely.
Yeah, you know, it's
on one this week. He is on an absolute.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're all on the Trump thing, but I think that's a slightly, not that it's a kind of a linked but separate issue. I don't know, and I don't know how to really what the solution is, but there's definitely an issue with kind of young men who kind of feel like that there's not a, they find it hard to maybe express their masculinity in a way that doesn't get them accused of kind of toxic masculinity, and the reaction seems to be to just double down then on the more problematic elements of it, or something.
Like,
you know, I'm kind of conscious of not wanting to sound like I want to excuse some of the boys will be boys or that type of thing.
It's sharing space. It's not understanding that if somebody is succeeding or somebody is doing well or better than you at something, that you can still be a great person and share that space. Yeah. It's just so weird, but it does trickle down.
Yeah.
And in Joan's class, there are boys that are very aware of who Andrew Tate is. And you can get, yeah. again, you could be, they could be staring at the Andrew Tate wall and not realize there's a great fire behind them. And all of a sudden they're just like, this is how the world is. And
I know.
View women, girls in their class that way.
I think the pushback against toxic masculinity led some of them to believe that all masculinity was toxic.
Exactly. This is my definitely.
And they kind of thought like that, that they were kind of being accused of just kind of being innately toxic.
Yes.
By having any kind of sense of masculine self. And then so they thought, well, this guy suddenly is kind of telling me I'm not toxic and it's okay to say some of these things. And then
Nail on the head.
Like, but I'm, yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, it's just, but it's how you kind of, it's how then you kind of, yeah, allow that space, that shared space for like, and recognize that masculinity is a thing. Like if we accepted femininity and everything
totally,
is a thing,
yeah.
masculinity is a thing.
But
you can't
assign
say
the positives to it.
Yeah, but assign positives to it. And I think they probably feel there was over-focus on the toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
But then some might say there was a necessary over-focus on it there for a few years.
But then the more you fall into that and the more like involved in that you become and the more hostile you become to the women in your life, the less they're going to want you there. So
yeah.
it's just going to keep feeding itself.
Yeah.
But
then again, the algorithms, to go back to the point we made, like if once you go down the Fuentes or the Tate rabbit hole, the algorithms then surround you with all sorts of information.
100%.
And then after a while, actually the way you're speaking, the way you're acting, makes sense.
It completely.
It doesn't make sense to us in the essay, but it completely
But that's what my
makes
big
sense.
Phobia is.
So scary.
Yeah.
These young guys need to be on Instagram looking at quinoa recipes like me.
Yes, that's true.
More cat videos.
Yes, only cat videos.
Bring us back.
Toxic feline-inity. What's on the show this weekend?
Donica
quinoa,
O'Callaghan.
Cats.
Donica O'Callaghan.
Oh, very
I think
good.
He was with Pat Kenny this week.
He was, actually, yes.
So I'm next. And we're going to talk about his dad book, Nothing Toxic, Nothing Masculine, you know, about that. And yeah, lots of little prizes.
Yeah, that'll be good fun.
Yeah.
Anyway. Saoirse, who's your sinner of the week?
My sinner of the week is scooter riders.
Oh.
People on scooters, specifically electric scooters. And I have a personal vendetta against them this week because I was involved in an electric scooter hit and run.
Oh.
Yes. I'm obviously completely fine. But
it's scary, though.
I was crossing the road near my house recently and it's a one-way road. I was looking to the left where the cars come from and there isn't a bike lane to my right or any reason for there to be somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't look to the right and I was heading out to a lovely, like, Marks and Spencer's Christmas dinner and I had Christmas music playing and I was having such a nice time. And I, in my absolute haste to listen to the Glee version of Baby, It's Cold Outside, I put one foot across the road and an electric scooter whopped right into the, you know, that, like, that bony bit of like the bulb on your ankle kind of where your bone is. And he kind of like stumbled off
where
the
scooter. Where your bunion is going to come out of
in
a few years.
Absolutely, where I'm going to be really like have this huge left ankle. So I obviously had some expletives to share and everyone behind me was kind of like, whoa, what's going on, what's going on? And the guy on the scooter didn't even look back, like just picked himself back onto his scooter and scooted
went.
Off, just left.
Yeah.
And I was left just kind of like, what am I doing now? So then I hobbled down graciously to my dinner and it was kind of grand then.
But you're shook
wine,
though
I was
after
fine, but I was
like,
so shook.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
shook. And it was only when I got back up home and it was night of the election. So I was like, I'm going to get into bed and I'm going to live in hope and go to sleep. And it was really, really sore.
And
I was like,
and swollen probably.
And bruised. And I just, my issue with electric scooters is, no offense to the scooter riders who are good scooter riders, but you look a bit silly. I think they look silly. When two people ride on them at once, it looks silly.
You don't think that looks romantic?
I don't think it looks romantic when two young fellas are just scooting around at speed.
With the hoods on.
With the hoods on. This guy had his hood on too. And I was like, at least let me see your face so I can get vengeance one day. But I just...
But because it can happen so fast.
Yeah.
On the keys and someone, I was looking the same. I was looking the way I was supposed to look. And it's like, if I had had a beard, he would have shaved it off.
He
just missed me by like that. And you're just like, and then I start going down this like sliding doors moment going, oh my God, my head. Like,
if I'd left 5 minutes earlier, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But I think like, I remember being in Paris a good few years ago and they had just brought in, there was like that boom of electric scooters in Europe where you could like get them, you know, the Lime scooters and stuff. And they're actually, I remember thinking, this is so much fun. I can scoot around, leave it on this side of the Seine and come back for it. And I remember being like, why can't we have this in Dublin? And I remember at the time, they were just starting to be like, oh, people are starting to buy these privately now and have them. And now, obviously, they're everywhere and there's a huge boom with them. And it's great if it was getting people to like travel around, obviously, you know, more people.
They're gone in
know.
Paris, though.
They're, yeah, because they were such a nuisance.
Yeah, they got rid of
them. They're such a nuisance because they were like being left everywhere and they were blocking up footpaths.
Just people need to be respectful of other people's space
other
again.
Other people's space. Yeah. Be That's empathetic with the pedestrians.
But do you think you were targeted for listening to Christmas music in November? Because I suspect I would have tried
I
to run you over.
Think that if you can
and if I'd been in my car, you've been lucky because I'm driving.
If you can point to
get
the lyrics
the door.
Of Baby It's Cold Outside and tell me where it's inherently a Christmas song. Because the messaging is technically just that, hey, baby, it's cold outside.
Mm-hmm. I don't get Christmas.
I think that song
later.
Is problematic for other reasons.
Yeah, I think so.
The Glee version
for like
is
a
so
Nick Fuentes kind of
thing. Yeah, I allow in November, okay? Right, and maybe you're right. Maybe
it'll
saw
be
that.
Like Nick Fuentes' podcast would play that. As
that's
their music.
Theme song.
That's a theme song. Yeah. Amazing. Nick, if you're listening, we know you're big fans of this slot. You can have that suggestion.
You hold that song as well, Ivan.
All right. So here's Sinéad Allison, are going to stay with me back after this quick break.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a
Yeah, Saoirse Handy, Addison Curtis are both still with me. Saoirse, you were at the Paul Mescal lookalike.
I was, not as a contestant.
I was about to say that was a triumph of hope over expectation.
There was the Paul Mescal, though, which, as they said on the stage, it was just a piece of the Smithfield Square.
It looked amazing.
It was so much fun. Given how heavy this week has been for a lot of people,
yes.
It was the absolute tonic. It was just absurd. It was so hilarious.
And you the prizes were so crap.
The prizes were so... Like,
what were they? What was top prize?
20 euro.
Oh, was
or
it?
3 pints. The option was for the winner either 20 euro or 3 pints. And then as they were there...
I mean, it's cutting across you. I thought he looked like him.
Guys, honestly...
Totally.
Like, I had a video of my Instagram and I genuinely... When you're there, you're kind of looking at them all and you're like, right...
My producer was one of them
like.
On the stage.
I saw him.
Paul was there, was he?
He was journalist.
Henry McKean was there as well.
And they're dressed the same.
Were they?
Shorts.
Yeah, there was a lot of O'Neills, a lot of 5-inch inseams going on in the shorts world. And I think O'Neills were kind of there because suddenly people just had O'Neills bags because I think they'd given them to the contestants as like, here you go, it's a voucher for O'Neills.
Oh, yeah. Somebody in marketing O'Neills saw that was like, get down
even
there.
Even Lidl got involved. They were handing out stickers that said like, middle aisle Mescal and I look a little bit like Paul Mescal.
That's very good.
It's fantastic.
I have it on my phone, I think. It was so fun. And it was just a bunch of people like gathering around. And much like the Timothée Chalamet contest that happened like the week or two ago, it was just people like acknowledging that this is so stupid and it's so fun. And we're all just like, it was like trial by public because they would stand up and be like, how about this Mescal? And then the guy who was like hosting it made them all like give a Paul Mescal line.
Yes.
So we had, you know, Harness, Bally Harness, that was going on. We had You look really pretty, Marianne, or whatever.
Yeah. A lot of normal people stuff.
A lot of people stuff.
You butchered the previous one, too. I didn't want to say it. Bally Harness.
Oh, God, you're right. The premise of the ad.
Yeah.
It was lost
Harness.
On me.
Where the hell is Harness?
Look, I'm not from there, okay? Yeah. We don't have a Bally Harness in Cork. But it was just ridiculous. I went on my lunch break.
Fun.
So did all my friends from work. We just gathered for an hour, laughed at it, and went home. And it was just lovely. And
my favorite was actually seeing Henry.
Oh, was it? Yeah, with the hood up and the sunglasses on. Yeah, I know. Yeah, Henry will do anything.
I will say, I'm quite annoyed that Paul himself didn't show.
I think.
I suspect they all hoped he'd show. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. There was a huge crowd there, but like. Guys, he's right there. Just pop over.
Yeah.
If Timothée Chalamet can do it.
Yeah.
Were either of you at the premiere last night?
I feel badly, but I went to something else that I... Now, you can't break a promise to teenage girls. That
okay.
And my husband, I might as well say it now, he's like, did we get invited to that? And I was like, no, but we had.
Oh my God, cut that bit out.
I know, cut that bit out. But I'd already promised my daughter and her friend... Wonderlights in Malahide.
Oh my God.
I know.
More shame.
I know. I
heard it was good.
Yeah, it's really good. It was really, really good.
A clarion call for the old school pub.
So oh my God.
Do you want to wrap things up with?
So yeah, very briefly, last Sunday is the last day I'll ever be drinking again on the rest of my life because my God. But we went to Cusack's in the North Strand and a gang of us got together. And it was to celebrate something. And we decided that we would choose that pub because it's either karaoke or music bingo. And we're all former radio heads or current radio heads. So we were playing music bingo. No phones in sight for hours. just pints of Guinness and music bingo, and it went on forever, and it was hilarious, and it was so much fun, and it was just like restorative. I was like, this is good.
Until you woke up Monday, was it?
Until we woke up on Monday, and until we heard our news on Wednesday as well. The week's gone down Sunday.
Stop drinking, yeah.
Anyway, listen, thank you both very much. Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, Saoirse Hanley, audience editor, columnist with the Irish Independent.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.